Saddle up your horses. Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walter Show. God bless you this Memorial Day weekend or wherever you may be listening or whenever you may be listening. Got a lot to fit into this program. We are going to talk about so much stuff. We're going to end with a fitting Memorial Day tribute. And I just want to let you know that if you have a desire to hear about the end times, why there is no pre-tribulation rapture. Of course, they have the book, The Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end time events. You can certainly contact me at the address given during the solicitation here to receive a copy of that book. But you can also see an overview presentation on YouTube. I preached the last 2 weeks at a church. It's called the Fire Rock Cowboy Church. Fire Rock Cowboy Church. And it's firerockcowboychurch.com. And you can either watch it on there, the last two sermons, or you can go to Fire Rock Cowboy Church on YouTube, and you will see that the last 2 weeks, May 15th and May 22nd, these last two Sundays, I did the back-to-back messages at that church. I don't think you want to miss it. And let other people know about it. It's been a very highly watched YouTube for that church, it has been anyway, and I have a feeling it's going to have legs because it fits this time. The receptivity to the message is growing by leaps and bounds. So we're going to touch on some end time things today. Memorial Day, we've got so much packed, so we're going to roll here. I want to start with something I haven't done in a long time, and that is to launch with a little bit of good news. There is so much bad news between the Buffalo shooting and the Uvalde shooting and the hypocrisy of the left and all of the sexual debauchery that's passing as mainstream culture and quickly becoming mainstream culture, initiated by the government. The biggest sinner in this country is the president. Could he be demon-possessed? I think he is. Is he the Antichrist? No, but we may touch on that here later. But I want to start with just a few good things. You need to hear a couple of good things. Number one, Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt, just signed the nation's strictest abortion ban. This is great news. This is one of the 17 states that I think are, well, I think there's 17 states that are going to leave the union. The ones on the edge, a couple of them that I don't think will could, a couple I think will won't. But I'm thinking 17 states. Oklahoma is certainly one that's very much in the lead. God bless them. They're doing the right thing. God will bless those who bless him, right? That's what it says from 1 Samuel. God bless the state of Indiana, which overrode a Republican governor's veto for the state to ban biological males from female sports. Overrode the governor's veto. Now, the Indiana legislature doesn't want male athletes playing on women's sports teams. Who does? Certainly the women don't. And only the queer trannies want to. But this bill, HEA 1041, will require public schools to designate sports categories by sex and the genetics of the athlete at birth. Now, why is this pretty a big deal? Because this is Mike Pence's state. I never felt that Mike Pence was the right pick for Donald Trump, but Trump was so good he could get by with a weak vice president. And I hope that Pence crashes early in his quest for the Republican nomination in 2024. Is he a bad man? No. But you can be a gutless Christian, and that's what Mike Pence is. And what's eerie about this almost is the similarity between the two Republican governors is Pence, when he was governor, supported a bill that would have underscored heterosexuality and oppose the imposition of homosexual stuff in schools. He then, when the bill passed, he got intimidated by Hollywood. Oh, we're not going to bring our movies there. We aren't going to do business in Indiana. Who wants those jokers from L.A. doing business in Indiana? Get lost. I think it's the perfect deflector shield, to use a Star Trek term. And he bailed. He folded. He folded like a deck of cards. I mean, he was just, and then he wouldn't sign the bill. Governor Holcomb did the same thing. He said he'd support this legislation, and then he vetoed it because he said the bill does not offer, quote, one consistent state policy regarding the fairness in K-12 sports in Indiana, end quote. Let me tell you, these people are rhinos. They're gutless. They're in the way, and because they're in the way, they need to get out of the way. They don't pave the way for Christianity. There's nothing like a weak, feckless Christian to help facilitate the advancement of evil. And what will they do? Holcomb did just what Mike Pence did. He found something, some little tiny nuance to be able to, in his mind, justify the veto of the bill. Oh, this bill, it only covers 95% of what we want because it's not really what we need, so I'm going to veto it because I want something better. That is bull crap. It was bull crap from Pence. It's bull crap from Holcomb. God bless you, Hoosiers, for overriding the veto of another loser Republican governor. Then, last piece of good news here coming out of the state of Florida, the great state of Florida, which no longer, they are saying, is no longer purple. It's now red. The number of good people moving there outweigh the number of people from New York and New Jersey that are going down to pollute the place. But the good news coming out of Florida is the Florida teachers are quitting in protest of the Parental Rights in Education Act, the one that doesn't allow the pushing of queer orthodoxy, queer sex, sodomy, tranny this, transvestitism in violation of Deuteronomy 22, if you want the verse where it's an abomination to wear the clothing of the opposite sex, because some teachers are so triggered by the bill, they're quitting. They're leaving. Hey, great. Go back to New York. Go back to California. Go back to Washington or Oregon. Go back to where you probably belong and you'll be among the friends who are lost in a pool, a cesspool of debauchery. This is the point that I make when it comes to the inevitability of secession. Secession of a state will only succeed, and we're going to cover that next week. You do not want to miss next week's program. It will only succeed where the states then have the guts, having left this country, to make sure that their constitution, and it cannot be amended, does not provide for abortion, queer sex, queer marriage, sodomy is illegal, marriage is queer adoption, transvestitism, come down hard on all the debauchery sins, the ones which funneled and fueled the violence which is set forth in Genesis 6, which is why God said that he was sorry that he made man. Yeah. And so these teachers are leaving, they're quitting, they're saying, we can't be who we are. If we can't be who we are in school, I feel like a second-class citizen. Well, let me ask you, queers that were teaching in Florida, I want to be who I am, right? A Christian. Can I be an open Christian and lead a class in prayer? Can I come out, so to speak, as a Christian, do Bible reading in Florida? No. No. I can't do that. So why do the homosexuals think they have to have the opportunity to come out and do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if they are told they can't, it does two things. Number one, the fact that they say can't actually imposes the consequence, or not the consequence, it imposes the concept of what they're engaging in is, voila, wrong, sin. They can't handle the conviction of sin. And number two, they need to be able to openly recruit 5 to 10-year-olds to bring them into a world of hell. And they can't do that if they can't proselytize, they can't groom. That's why they're ticked off. And after all, these teachers, these whiny queer teachers in Florida, get out of here. Take a hike. Don't let the screen door slap you in the fanny on the way out. And who are we? Who are the schools supposed to protect? Let me ask you this question. The teachers? are the students. The teachers, I mean, this is a no-brainer. This is a duh question. The teachers, forget the teachers. It's about protecting the students. The teachers are totally secondary, but they all want the womb-to-tomb health care and everything else and be able to say and who they are and come out, proselytize, screw up your children, turn them into twice the child of hell that they are. Good riddance, that's what I meant to say, to all you teachers. And way to go, Florida, for driving the vermin and the scum out of your great state. One real quick item, Nevada. We have a lot of listeners in Nevada, many listening to KKVV, great station there, which I am on. Let me tell you, you want to support Joe Lombardo in the Republican primary. Why am I pointing this out, one particular candidate? Because the Democrats so hate Joe Lombardo, which means they are so scared of Joe Lombardo, which means that Joe Lombardo really could win that state and bring it back into a red column. Yeah, returning righteousness to Nevada? What a thought. And why are they doing this? Why are they pouring in multiple millions of dollars? Because he could win and he's their worst nightmare. But this is the way they're doing it. And be careful. The Democrats have formed these super PACs and they are posing as Republicans, spending millions of dollars in Nevada's Republican gubernatorial primary in an attempt to prevent Donald Trump's pick, his endorsed candidate, Joe Lombardo, from becoming the GOP nominee. Because without voter fraud, which is the specialty of Democrats, they know how to lie, cheat, steal. It's what Satan came to do, right? Lie, cheat, steal, kill. John 10:10. And without doing that, Lombardo would be the governor. And so now they're doing what they always do, fake, lie, deceit, cheat, steal. And now they're faking it that they are Republicans, spending money as though they were Republicans to beat up Joe Lombardo. Do not fall for that crapola coming from some more scum of the earth. Okay, now to Uvalde. I have never been in Uvalde. I've been very, very close to Uvalde. It's a very remote area. There's nothing around there. You kind of go past, on the way to nowhere, you pass through Uvalde. There's so much I am not going to share because it has been covered to great lengths on TV and that's all they can talk about. But there are just a couple of things that this, obviously this violence is bad. We as a country are reaping what we have sown. And when you got losers, and I mean losers like Eric Holder. Why is everybody that Obama appointed a complete jerk? White, black, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you why. Because Obama's such a loser, he has to appoint worse losers underneath him to make himself look good. That's why I've said it from day one, from 2008 on. The reason he picked Joe Biden is because Joe Biden is such a loser, he makes Barack look good. Barack's a narcissist. So is Trump. Trump is out and out as a narcissist. Barack is a little more concealed, but nonetheless, every bit as much of a narcissist. He's just smoother. He's just a little more of a charlatan about it. But there is one difference. Trump actually has earned a bit of his narcissism. Obama, as a community organizer, hasn't earned jack. He's just been propped up by the Klaus Schwabs of the world. And then the people beneath him, the Bill Gates and the George Soroses of the world. So Eric Holder comes out and he blames the violence in Buffalo and the violence in Uvalde on gerrymandering. Can you believe this nonsense? How stupid are these people that you appointed, Obama? A gerrymandering, which is where people, politicians will construct a district, a voting district, in such a way so as to put more and more people of one sort into that district that they already will lose. So in other words, if it's going to go Democrat, a Republican redistricting would try to put and fit more Democrats into that district because they're going to lose it anyway and free up other areas to more likely be Republican and vice versa. The Democrats are specialists at gerrymandering. Both parties have done it. But to blame the deaths in Uvalde and in Buffalo on gerrymandering? God, jeez, oh, Pete. Okay. Now we're going to launch into this gun control thing. We are going to touch on some biblical points. We are going to destroy the left's position on things gun, all gun related. I am not going to go into the detail with which mainstream media has castigated the left, starting with Biden, who takes the Lord's name in vain a gazillion times, trying to blame it on guns, and Hillary, who says, it's a gun, stupid, it's a gun, stupid. No, it's you, Hillary, that's stupid, not the guns. Guns don't just get up and walk over and shoot somebody. They don't whisper in your ear when you pass by them in your gun case and say, take me out and shoot somebody. Come on. Come on. It's a person. The violence doesn't lie in the weapon. If the weapon was only a weapon of violence for evil, then why do the police carry them? Why do the DOJ carry them? Why does the FBI carry them? Why does the IRS carry them? Why does the military carry them? It's like anything. It's a tool, can be used for good, can be used for evil. I guess that's point number one, isn't it? But this demand for gun control, and Michael Moore comes out and says, let's get rid of the Second Amendment. My proposition, let's get rid of Michael Moore. But, and I don't mean kill him, just get the hook, take him off the scene of life, the stage of life. The guy is just, he and Al Gore only do two things well, and that's the impersonation of a beached whale. Well, the left is not going to quit until everybody's disarmed. I honestly think, and you're going to think I'm off, but doesn't matter. I honestly think they sort of relish. I know they relish the killings in Buffalo. They relish the killings in Uvalde. The Democrats really do not give a rat's rear end about those children's lives. They're expendable. And why are they expendable, those people? Because it's the opportunity for them to achieve their political ends. If they were really, truly, heartfelt sorry, they wouldn't be giving speeches 20 minutes after the incident. The bodies have not resumed room temperature. Gone to room temperature. Before they're out there, it's the Rahm Emanuel, never waste a crisis. All of their speeches give away their motive. I think they're glad for these opportunities. That helps them. They say, well, it's too bad that some had to be expended, but this is what it takes to get what we want. I believe it. They are that evil that they really, truly believe it. But let me just cover some hypotheticals here. So let's say that we all give up all of our arms, which is what they want. Everything is just an incremental push to ultimately take away all of them. They say, well, a lot of people say, why can't we just get rid of the guns? I understand those reactions, not realizing that the guns are the only means to protect ourselves from an imposing government. Increasingly imposing. But the left wants all to give up guns. We'll have peace. We'll be like Britain. Nobody has guns, blah, blah, blah. Well, if guns mean that nobody is going to be able to use guns committing crimes and so forth like that, then does not it follow if the people don't need guns to protect themselves, why do the police need guns? Why does the FBI need guns? Why does the DOJ need guns? Why does the IRS need guns? Why does the Secret Service need guns? They say, well, because there's evil. We have to protect ourselves. Well, thank you. Thank you for confessing my very point. If you need guns to protect yourself, then why do not we need guns to protect ourselves? The DOJ is not going to protect my derriere. Neither is the IRS or the FBI and the police. Like they say, I love our police, pray for them. But, you know, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And Uvalde brought this out terribly, hanging around waiting for somebody with the proper tools and things to go after this guy. The police didn't prevent Jack in Uvalde, nor in Buffalo. That's nothing wrong with the police. The police are reactionary. They're not there to prevent. They're there to clean up. They're the cleanup committee. Get the evidence, take the DNA, and try to make sure that the guy who did it dies and gets executed for the crime. But they'll say, we have to protect ourselves. Well, then why do you need to confiscate our guns, which we need to protect ourselves, but somehow you get to keep yours? If we have a peaceful society and nobody needs guns, that means you don't need them either. And the hypocrisy with which you speak is so blatant. so blatant that you say, well, you don't need the guns because we've gotten rid. If we get rid of the guns, we've gotten rid of the criminal element to use them. Well, then you don't need them either. They'll never give them up. You see, the left has a love-hate relationship with guns. They hate guns that are in the hands of patriots. They love guns that they and they only have and possess exclusively. So, I mean, their argument's a functional admission of a wrong premise, that disarming law-abiding citizens will also mean that criminals will be disarmed. So if the criminals aren't disarmed, then why should the law-abiding be disarmed as well? Shouldn't. Not anyway, not know how. Well, here's a sad thing, and I'm going to jump into this dealing with the end times. That's why I want you to hear the two messages on YouTube that I preach, because it deals with the end times, a bit of what it's going to be like in the tribulation, because we don't get out of here early. Just chuck that garbage. We don't get out of here early. Any pastor that tells you that, honestly, is seriously confused or badly taught or just flat out lying. And I think because things are getting so bad is why my book and the speaking opportunities are opening up for me to share that message. And I should throw this out. I am winding my law practice down to make room and time for one thing, and that is to be able to speak to end times issues anywhere in the United States. And if that is something that you think that you would like to do, I'm cheap. You cover my airfare, lodging, car, you cover my expenses, I will come for free. I am so committed, I am so compelled to get this message out that I will come to wherever you are to speak to these issues, listen to the YouTube thing, and see if that would not be something that somebody in your group or people in your community need to hear. And we'll do everything to make it happen. It is, time is that short, and it is that important. Well, end times. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of his return. Now, Noah's not talking about the great escape. He's not talking about the being whisked away. I mean, the Lord isn't. They're referencing Noah being a rapture. No, what he's saying is, as it was in the times of Noah, so will society be. Yeah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Queer marriage. That's what we got now. They're giving in marriage, right? The world was so evil. It was so wicked. It was rooted in sexual debauchery combined with idolatry before the flood. And what did it produce? Twice it says, and the earth was filled with what? Just what's happening now. Violence. Violence. So bad, lawlessness, which is the hallmark of the Antichrist. He's called in 2 Thessalonians the lawless one. And everybody who embarks on lawlessness, Antifa, BLM, Joe Biden, Democrats, ones who are protesting outside Supreme Court justices' homes, don't abide. The lawless ones are the little antichrists. The antichrist is the lawless one. Scripture talks about little antichrists. They're the lesser lawless ones, but they're rooted in lawlessness. And that's what produces the violence. That's what we have. It's the hallmark of this country these days. Whether it's the shootings in Uvalde, the shootings in Buffalo, or the poor homeless guy, 75 years old, just sleeping on a street in New Jersey, and some guy walks up, douses him with gasoline the other night, and then sets him on fire. We have become barbarian because the word of God is gone. It's been kicked out. We've give God the finger, the fist, in the face. It's not just a matter of kicking God out. It's a matter of attacking everything that's biblical. And it's being filled with a demonic rush of evil that's come upon this country. The violence is over the top. So we don't have a secular problem. We don't have a gun problem. We have a spiritual problem. We have laws that are not being enforced. And the laws are for who? The lawless. The lawless we have are for the little antichrists. They're the lawless ones. And if they aren't enforced, then what good is it? And they say, well, we need more laws. We were to restrict these guns and this and so forth. That won't change anything. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Who had the best law in the world? The best legal system in the world was given by Moses from God to the Hebrews. It's called the Ten Commandments. The perfect law. And God fleshed it out, gave meat to it by giving Moses additional ordinances and statutes that bore out the application side of those Ten Commandments. And yet, when you get to Leviticus 18, you will read that Israel became so sinful, debauchery. It started with the adultery. It went to incest. It goes to pedophilia. It goes to queer sex, the sodomy. They list bestiality in that passage. And God said, you're worse than the nations I threw out. I threw out the nations so you could occupy the promised land. Now you are worse than they are. And I'm going to vomit you out of the land. That's what God says. I'm going to puke you out. What have we been given? You see, the answer is not in the changing of the laws. They had the perfect law. But when the heart of man became utterly and terribly evil, the law means nothing. They'll find a way under it, around it, over it, through it, or just simply ignore it, or do a Kamala Harris deal like she did when she was the Attorney General in California and only enforce the laws she liked and not enforce the laws she didn't like. Just like right now, DOJ is not enforcing the laws they don't like because it's against the law to protest and harass the Supreme Court justices. I read that statute 2 weeks ago. They're just simply ignoring it. And yet the people that are in the January 6th thing, which didn't do any damage, nobody got killed except a protester by a cop, didn't really do any damage. They're looking at years in prison while the people who burned and looted and arsoned and killed people through all the BLM Antifa riots are going free because George Soros-funded prosecutors are letting them go. Evil being called good, good being called evil. It's bad. God is giving us what we have sown. We're reaping what we have sown. We've chosen bad people to lead us, starting with Barack Hussein. Biden stole the election. Isn't any question about it. If you don't watch anything the rest of your life, you are missing it if you don't watch 2,000 Mules. You will be absolutely blown away, and you'll see why the mainstream media doesn't have the guts, doesn't have the cojones to show it, because it would be shining a flashlight under their own stinky, vile refrigerator. What's underneath it is awful. So anyway, so we get down to this tragedy, and you got the Beto O'Rourke, which made a complete jackass of himself the other day. And you got Chuck E. Cheese Schumer trying to push gun control, ramming it down. And then he pulls back on it. Why does he? Because people like Beto O'Rourke and Barack Obama are hurting the cause because they cannot let the bodies attain room temperature in these shootings before they get out and start assailing the laws and doing so without, obviously, any compassion for the families. See, they want the destruction of the United States so badly that they are getting ahead of themselves, and it's beginning to backfire. So Chuck E. Cheese Schumer pulled the bill. Don't go away. We're just getting rolling. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go.
We are back. This is Robin Walter. Yeah, and just finishing up, you know, Beto O'Rourke made a jackass of himself. Joe O'Biden made a jackass of himself. Barack Obama's always making a jackass of himself. You know, Obama, O'Biden, O'Rourke, you know, they're starting to give the Irish a bad name, right? It's just unbelievable. Okay, now to a couple-minute primer on guns. This is necessary. Because Biden has come out and said the people who own AR-15s are sick people. Well, that's interesting because, as I alluded to earlier, that means the DOJ is sick, means the Secret Service is sick. They all own AR-15s, right? Why aren't they sick? Well, we'll cover this in a minute. First of all, AR does not stand for assault rifle. Point number one, just a few facts. It doesn't even stand for automatic rifle. It stands for Armalite rifle. It's a company that made it. But the dingbats, the ones who don't know jack about guns, don't know the stock from the muzzle, will tell you the AR stands for an assault rifle. No, it doesn't. Number two, it's not new. It's relatively new to be used in crimes. The AR has been sold in this country for 55 years. So I have to ask you the obvious question. What's changed? If the gun was the problem, it would have been a problem 55 years ago. 50 years, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25 years ago. It's never been the problem, so it can't be, the gun can't be the problem. If the gun was the problem, we would have had these crimes committed by the AR-15 all through our recent history. Was it when it was first used? I think it was first used in Columbine, which was 23 years ago. Maybe it's become a gun of choice. But it's not the gun that's changed. It's been around for decades. What's changed are the people. What's changed is that we have become a culture of death. That's what has changed. I mean, it's awful. I mean, the assault weapon. I think as well it's an assault rifle, an assault weapon. I want to ask the question. This is point number three. What is an assault rifle? Or what is an assault weapon? A weapon is anything you use to do damage, kill, or injure somebody else in an assault. It is no more complex than that. Go into a True Value or an Ace Hardware store and say, I want to buy an assault hammer. I say, what the heck are you talking about? I want an assault hammer. Well, we got hammers here. I don't have an assault hammer. No, I want a hammer. I don't want to pound nails. I want to pound somebody's brains out. You get the point? It's pretty obvious. Whether it's a chainsaw, what have you. I mean, there is no tool out there that cannot have a bad application and a good application. Whether it's a hammer, whether it's a gun, defending your lovely two daughters who are 10 and 12, and you got four thugs in your house that want to rape them, toast those four. God will bless you. You have an obligation to defend your own. Can it also be used for murder? Yes. Hammer can be used for good or for worse. A fist is good for being able to, what's a fist good for? Well, to grip the hammer, right? But are you ready for this next fact? More people in the United States are murdered by fists and beating than by AR-15s and the so-called assault rifles. So if it can only be used for assaulting, and that's why it's an assault rifle, then why does the DOJ have assault rifles? Who are they assaulting? Hey, Billy Joe Bob Biden, why does your Secret Service, why are they carrying around assault weapons? Well, they're not assault weapons, they're for our defense. Bull crap. That's an assault rifle. You've identified it by its looks, by its feel, by its color, by its pistol grip, blah, 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 is an assault rifle. Why is it a defense weapon in the hands of your Secret Service? And it's only an assault weapon in the hands of us. Why are we chump change? Why can't we get the same tool to defend ourselves as you, precious Joe, you elitist white snobs, get to protect your sorry rear ends? Good questions, isn't it? Aren't they? Well, if you get to use it for self-defense, and for us it's only an assault tool, then you guys are the elitist snobs that we, well, know that you are. Well, what am I going to say? That's point number what? I don't know where I am. Point number four, point number five. Maybe it's point number five. Ultimately, the value of the ARs and similar guns are for the defense against tyranny. Please go read the Second Amendment. The necessity of the free state. The free state. A free state, meaning the state vis-a-vis the federal government, only can be free if the people have the right to keep and bear arms, to prevent government tyranny. Exactly what the states came out from under the British jackboot of tyranny. The government had guns. They didn't. They're going to be. The guns are. It's always been a natural right to have a weapon to possess, to protect yourself, your family, your property. The Second Amendment expanded on that to make sure that the states had the vehicle, the tools, the people in the states to protect against government tyranny. Well, they love their own guns, but we become their victims. And gun control, number six, does it work? Yes, it does work. It worked for Joe Stalin. It worked for Adolf Hitler. It worked for Idi Amin. It worked for Pol Pot in Cambodia. It worked for Fidel Castro in Cuba. You can go right on down the line. Gun control works. The government has all the guns. The people don't. I got to ask you a simple question here. If Russia had a Second Amendment, do you think Putin would still be in power? Fair question, isn't it? Well, fact is that no one in government should have a weapon for personal defense that the people don't also have a right to use for their own personal defense. This is point number seven. Are they better? No. Are they the elite? Well, they think they are. They think they are. The fact of the matter is you cannot have a weapon be for defense for government officials and be for only offense for us. They don't have the right to have that which is an assault weapon in our hands, but a defensive weapon in ours. They do not get any gun for their own personal protection. There is no firearm that's legitimately in use to protect the President of the United States that we shouldn't have to legitimately, personally protect ourselves. Anything else, then they are the elitists. The fact of the matter is, actually, if they can have guns that we can't, if they can have guns and we don't have any, I think any law that accomplishes that effect, actually, think about this, violates the 13th Amendment, which prohibits slavery. Because if the public servants are ruling, they have guns, we don't, they can protect themselves, we can't. We have become the slaves of the servants, which means that they are not the servants, they're the masters. And we are the slaves. To allow the government to have guns for personal protection that we don't have makes us slaves to the government. The government gets bigger, we get smaller. Now, on to something. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm going to fit this in. I got to fit this in. Because it deals with the Uvalde and the shooting thing. It's Obama. Oh, my gosh. The true colors of Obama, if they weren't shown before, they are now. So he comes out the other day, and I want to quote Barack Hussein. I'm sorry, I just keep calling him a jackass, and I call all these Democrats jackasses. But what's the symbol of the Democratic Party? It's the donkey. It's the jackass. Is their symbol? He said, quote, "As we grieve the children of Uvalde today, We should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with us all to this day, especially those who loved him. In the aftermath of his murder, a new generation of activists rose up to channel their anguish into organized action, launching a movement to raise awareness of systemic racism and the need for criminal justice and police reform. What the crap does this have to do with the kids killed in Uvalde? They were almost all Hispanic, killed by a Hispanic. There's no racism there. Jackass Obama. How much ink did Uvalde get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. As we grieve the children of Uvalde today. That's the end of Uvalde for Brock. Then he goes into this thing about George Floyd, the fentanyl-laced criminal who wasn't murdered. Yes, he was killed, but he wasn't murdered. There wasn't an intention to kill him. And second and third degree murder in that jurisdiction does not mean premeditated, not even close. But that's beside the point. I want to draw your attention to something dealing with Obama here. Do you remember when 13 soldiers were killed at Fort Hood with Nadal Hassan, I think was his name? Nadal Hassan. 13. And that day when 13 were killed, Obama comes on, he's doing a press conference, and he comes out and says something to the effect, this is not a quote, but it's very close, that we're concerned and saddened by the situation of workplace violence. Hassan was a maniacal Muslim. It was a hate crime. He was a loser Muslim who went and committed a hate crime in Fort Hood, clearly based upon the non-Muslim status of his victims. Brock doesn't point that out, but he only gives a little short little blurb in a speech to the, quote, workplace violence that took place that day, saddened by it. Then he goes on to say, but I want to give a shout out. And then he starts praising different people in the audience. This turd, and I'm being kind, this turd spent all of about 10 seconds with 13 dead soldiers because he didn't want to shine the flashlight under his own Muslim refrigerator, but he wanted to get on to something else just like he did. That it was sort of like, screw the kids in Uvalde, I want to talk about George Floyd. Now, I'm going to get to something here. I'm going to fit this in. We have a bit of a tribute to the end, and I do not want to skip that. But this has got to get fit in here. Revelation 20, and I speak about this in one of the messages on the YouTube, May 15th, May 22nd, Fire Rock Cowboy Church, that the saints during the tribulation are beheaded. Right? Who does beheading today? Muslims. It goes on to say in Scripture that those who persecute you in the end times will think that they're doing God a service. Who thinks that they're doing God, in their words, Shmala, Allah, who thinks they're doing God a service when they execute the, quote, infidels, end quote, Muslims. So the reason I bring this up is I've gotten a question since I've done these two messages, which are out there. If the Antichrist is alive, I don't know if he's alive today. Who is the Antichrist? Well, I don't know. But I can tell you this much. He won't be a Nikita Khrushchev ugly mug with about 28 warts and this and that, pounding his shoe on the table and talking like a guy that you just as soon have had a serious heart attack, so you don't have to hear him anymore. No, he's going to be suave. He's going to be debonair. He's going to be beguiling. but in a charismatic way. I personally think the Antichrist is Muslim. So if somebody were to say to me, who do I think the Antichrist is? I can't say he is, but if I had to identify somebody, the closest I could get to it would be Barack Obama. The charismatic, suave, beguiling character, debonair. He's not ugly. I don't think he's handsome, but he's certainly not ugly. Smooth-talking, Muslim guy who has a history of loving men, hates righteousness, and before George Stephanopoulos, I still have the video clip, admitted he was a Muslim. And what does he do? He comes out and pushes the Muslim, plays the Muslim line of taqiyya, T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, which means to advance the cause of Islam and or to get yourself out of a jam, Muslims are permitted to lie and deceive to advance the cause of their God. And so what did he do? He's a great deceiver. The great liar was Barack Obama, told everybody he was a Christian, but when on that tape he admitted to George Stephanopoulos, nobody has harassed him or shamed him for his Muslim faith. And then George Stephanopoulos had to correct Barack so that he could then return to his lie. That's who I would say is. Is he? I don't know. He fits the bill. If he's alive today, he's loved the world over for all the wrong reasons. And interestingly, when I saw this piece about him, there is a picture of Barack. One word came to my mind when I saw his eyes. His eyes. I took that picture to my wife and I said, look at this picture. What do you see? She said, evil. And that was the word that I was thinking of. Without saying it, one word described, you can see it in his eyes. He's trigger happy. He's so thin skinned. And you can see a demonic presence emerge from the man when he gets ticked off. This picture displayed it. His eyes revealed it. As it is in the last days of Noah, you know, violence will rule. Genesis 6. Be sure and check out those YouTube video clips. But I want to tell you what and why we are in trouble. Why we are where we are. The reason for our fall can be summed up actually in Deuteronomy 6. And you may want to read this. Because the Lord says there, starting with verse 1, these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. We have an admonition to teach our children and our children's children the word of God, so that we would last in this country, so we would be prolonged in our time. And the Lord goes on to say that to observe these things, I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, the Lord has blessed the United States beyond measure, the most blessed country, second only to Israel. We have been so blessed. And that it goes on to say that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou lie down, when thou rise up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. This is where we've screwed up. We've turned our schools over to Satan. Not only is there no school prayer, no school Bible reading, but the scriptures are attacked, and we've introduced queerdom and sodomy and abortion and transvestitism and all of this stuff and evolution. All of these things have come in. And it goes down to say that Beware that the day will come, for I've filled you with all this good, United States. I have blessed you, United States. You were launched under my initiation, United States. Of course, I'm just substituting the U.S. for Israel in these passages. He said, but beware, lest you forget the Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware, lest you forget that all the pilgrims who came out of the spiritual bondage and totalitarianism and the hatred of true Christianity in Europe brought to this land flowing with milk and honey and promise. Did we screw up in places? Yeah, but we've done our best to get it right. The most blessed nation on earth, the longest running constitutional republic of all time. And we're forgetting it. We are forgetting all about it. Deuteronomy 6 tells us where we've gone wrong. And it's in the absence of teaching our children. We've turned them over to monsters who indoctrinate our children, don't educate our children, and specifically attack the Word of God and teach everything contrary to the Word of God. We have sown the seed of our own destruction. But is all lost? I don't know. I think the country's going to split, but is all lost? I don't know. But this is Memorial Day weekend, and I'm thinking, you know, my father and two of my brothers and myself, four of us served in the military. My dad saw action in the Southwest. God brought him home safely. And thank God for that, because if he didn't, I would not have been born. I was born. I'm part of the baby boomer generation. My brother in Vietnam, he was spared. He came back, got saved, and is a preacher. I didn't have to do that. We've all been spared, but those who have given their lives so people like AOC can wax stupid, given their lives so that Biden has the right, I guess, to take God's name in vain, died for people to have the freedom actually to give God the finger. These freedoms are abused, but they're not without consequence. These to whom we owe so much, I have a question. Would they do it again if they knew that this is what it would turn out like? Would they feel like their death was in vain? No, I don't think they would think it was in vain. And yes, I think that they would do it again. I do think they would. Because the passages we just read is that we were to teach them to our children and our grandchildren and those who fought in World War II, what they fought for was sustained for a period of time. We all just only are here for a period. We do what we can. The impact of what we do can be long, it can be short, but we do what we can do, obviously. And as it says in Romans 5, that scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perchance for a good man will some dare to die. Those were our soldiers. They weren't dying for a righteous one, but they were dying for good people that were back home, for good soldiers who were next to them. They did die for that. Would they do it again? Yes, I do think that they would. But there are all those who died, but then there's a second one who we need to talk about. And that's Jesus, the one who also has fallen on the cross, right? We have those who died for a good man, the soldiers. Scripture says, scarcely will one die for a righteous man. That we don't see, and Scripture tells us that. But the one who has fallen, Jesus, would he do it all again, seeing how life and earth would go after him? Well, of course, he knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. And yes, he would do it. Yes, sadly, America is being taken to the woodshed, but yes, we're being spanked. There isn't any question about that we are being spanked as a nation. We're gone to being taken to the woodshed. But God is a forgiving God, but his justice, it has to be done. He will not always strive with man. But this is what happened. Jesus, the scripture says, scarcely would one a die for a righteous man. Well, none of us were righteous. But Jesus died for the unrighteous. Jesus died for the unrighteous man while we, as sinners, Christ died yet for us. Does it not say that? Let us be faithful to the one who owed us nothing, but to whom we owe everything. We owe everything to Jesus. He actually owed nothing to us. But he died for the sinner. Could we not live for the one and only truly righteous person ever? That yes, we may be made righteous also, but he died that we might become the righteousness of God.
We should never be
disturbed. That's right. Do not forget. Do not cease praying. I will share this and then I'm going to let Alan Jackson finish this segment. We have an obligation. We have a duty. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith is dead. We will not come back just as a political answer or response. We can only come back if faith and works are combined. We pray and we act. Maybe God will overlook it. We're paying the price now. Maybe we will only be spanked behind the woodshed. We won't be finished off as a country. God bless you. We'll see you next week.